6, and I'm with Frank Baumann. We are continuing his oral history. We just finished a tape that we had started on October 18th, 2006, and which we completed a few moments ago. So we are picking up now with where we left off in the fall of 1965, and Mr. Baumann's role in celebrating United Nations Day here in the state of Oregon. And I'm going to double check we have a good recording, and then we'll continue. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Consul. These documents that I've removed from, I believe it's Exhibit 41, I'm going to hand
43.
To you. 43, I apologize. Thank you for correcting me. But I'm going to hand them to you in just a few moments. But let me add this comment, if I may, with reference to our congressional delegation in Washington. I'm having trouble with the English language. Our congressional delegation, we heard from all of them except one, and I particularly want to refer to the letter of Congressman Wendell Wyatt, whose name is going to come up in what follows, I trust, today, in terms of my quest for membership of the Secretariat or affiliation with the United Nations. He was our congressman for 10 years from the 1st District and, of course, is a member of the firm of Schwabe, Wyatt, and Williamson, and an old, dear friend.
Now, Frank, while you're looking for the papers, I noticed when we played back that when you're speaking, I'll see if you can move the papers so that your voice picks up good on the recording, because I think sometimes the paper overshadows your voice there. So. Does that make sense?
It makes very good sense.
Okay.
Well taken. And Wendell writes, "Dear Pat," which was a boyhood name of mine. Have we mentioned that?
Yes.
All right.
I think in the very first session.
All right. He says, "Your letter of October 13th inviting Faye and myself to the United Nations Day reception in Salem, October 25, has been received, and I am most grateful for your invitation. Unfortunately, after having spent a number of days in Oregon, must return to Washington tomorrow night, and I'm quite certain I will not be back in time to participate in the reception. I particularly appreciate the invitation because of my very active and deep interest in the United Nations. Both Faye and I are looking forward to seeing you and your good wife when the smoke clears in the near future. Sincerely yours, Wendell." I might also add with due respect that we heard from both of our United States Senators, Senator Wayne Morse at Telegram, and Senator Maureen Neuberger. Let me hand these papers to you at this time, and do you want to give them an exhibit number, or I would suggest you do that since they're removed from 43
yes.
exhibit. Also,
I'm going to put them together, and they'll be 44.
Also, I'm giving you the official invitation that Governor Hatfield sent out, where Governor and Mrs. Marco Hatfield request the pleasure of your company at a reception to be given in recognition of United Nations Day. Is this being picked up?
It should be. I was just...
Monday, October 25th, 4 to 6 p.m., Oregon State Capitol Rotunda, Salem, Oregon.
Do you want me to put that with 44? That might be a good place to keep it all together.
Right. Right. Let me give that to you.
And so we have a clip of documents. It looks like maybe there's a couple dozen here that we'll affix, and we'll call them all one document.
All right. I have three formal invitations from the governor. I'm handing you one in an envelope, and I have two more, and I think I'll keep those at this time, if I may. You don't need three of the same.
Okay, I'll put this with, maybe I can, I'll put number 44 on all of these together.
All right.
sounds like you had a wonderful turnout for your event.
Yes, we did. It was simply extraordinary, and the television coverage was exemplary. I had comments from my friends in the city who had seen it, who were not able to be present, and we were indebted to them. It was a rich and happy occasion in every respect.
Have you had a sense, since that event in particular, let's say, that the sort of ordinary people of the state, like myself, that there's a increased awareness of the role of the United Nations, or even the role of the people of our state in the larger world context? Is that something that you see changing?
You could not ask a better question at this time, Consul. Because while I've been talking here today, I've been reflecting on that very question, and I put two parts to it. First, from the positive point of view, I think our leadership, and I'm referring to the political leadership, both local and national, are perhaps because of the influence of Iraq and that experience, are more aware of the role of the United Nations in terms of the Security Council serving as a preeminent element in seeking to resolve disputes in this world. I think we can say that. But at the same time, part two of my statement is this: in terms of local support for the Oregon United Nations Association, I think local involvement has deteriorated. And the evidence that I give you in support of that statement is that on near October 25th, I attended for the first time in several years the October 25th celebration. I'm not so sure it was on the 25th. It was close to the 25th. It was held at First Methodist Church at Southwest 18th and Jefferson. And hardly, I regret to tell you this, but I want to be truthful, hardly 20 people came to hear our speaking.
Just six weeks ago,
yes. There you are.
So you had 2,000 in 1965 and 20 in 2006.
That's correct. So be it. And I leave it to you and others to determine what weight to give to that statement. But it's wholly accurate. Wholly accurate. Well, let's move along. Let me move to another phase of this quest for involvement with the United Nations. As a matter of principle, I think all of us individually and collectively, and certainly this applies to myself, should always recognize and thanks those that have assisted him or her along this road of life that we travel. And that at this particular time, beginning in 1969, when I sought to join the UN, and which was approximately a 2-year quest, a 24-month quest, at the same time I was practicing law. But there are 4 individuals without whose assistance and advice I had not had and enjoyed, I would not, clearly would not have received the position I ultimately did in the early summer of 1971. The 4 individuals are as follows. Number one, and this is on a chronological basis in terms of the events of those 2 years. Number one is Ambassador Glenn Olds, graduate of Willamette University, a Methodist minister, raised in, I believe, in the farming environment near Sherwood, Oregon, which is probably largely subdivisions at this time, who in the summer of 1969 was the United States ambassador to what is known as ECOSOC, the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations. Number two is also an Oregonian, Dr. Wallace Steen McCall, a friend dating back to my years at U.S. Grant High School in Portland. Like myself, a student at Stanford University, and also a divinity student at Yale University. And subsequently, Foreign Service Officer of the United States. And at the time in question, Vice President of the Foreign Service Officers Association. Number three is a dear, dear friend, an Oregonian, I believe, dating back to my college days, a graduate of the University of Oregon and the University of Oregon Law School, but before that, a student at Jefferson High School. I mentioned Judge Bill Dixon, but Wendell, in his last year or so at Jefferson High School, this has nothing to do with the UN, lived in the home of Judge Bill Dixon's father, who was also a judge and a probate judge and a fine one, Judge Ashby Dixon. Wendell had a gallant service as a Marine flyer in World War II, became involved in the practice in Astoria, firm of Norblad Wyatt and Norblad, and then Norblad Wyatt and McDonald, probably the leading firm in that city. And with the passage of Walter Norblad, who was a member of Congress for the 1st District, which covers 10 counties, including Astoria and Clatsop County, west of Portland, was elected to the Congress, or appointed to the Congress, probably, and then elected and served admirably for 10 years. There's a building in Portland that carries his name, the Green Wyatt Building, I believe down on 3rd Street across from the Hatfield U.S. Courthouse.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
I believe you've got the streets right. I've certainly been inside the building many times.
All right.
And I remember in a previous session you told us about a brief episode you had with Ms. Green, too. So you have had some experience with both of the people for whom that building is named.
Right. I was Mrs. Green's attorney.
Yes, you were.
And took this case, DeHarford versus Green, after fortunate enough to prevail before Judge Crawford to the Supreme Court in Salem. And again, the Supreme Court very generously ruled in favor of Mrs. Green. Yes, all right. But enough of that. Then the fourth individual is a former president of the United States who chronologically, again, was the last individual in this quest to come to my rescue. And I speak of former President George Herbert Walker Bush, who at the time period from 1969 to 1993 was our principal ambassador to the United Nations. All right, let's return now, if we may, but to these individuals and the road that I followed in this quest, ultimately being appointed as a senior officer of the United States and its representative to Australasia, responsible for these following United Nations bodies, the United Nations Development Program, United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund.
Is that the one we commonly call UNICEF?
You're absolutely right, UNICEF. Remarkable organization, very efficient, at least in my day, and the creation of a man we've already mentioned this morning, the Honorable former President of the United States, the Honorable Herbert Clark Hoover, who was raised in our Newburgh, Oregon. And fourth, the United Nations Information Office. But let me take up Ambassador Olds. I've mentioned that I was active in the World Affairs Council, and this carried on for a number of years. And I was certainly active in 69. And I was in the consul offices, which were then at Portland State University, in one of the towers. And someone came to me and said, our speaker today has been Ambassador Glenn Olds, ambassador to ECOSOC in New York, and he needs a ride to the airport. I wonder if you or someone around us here could take him to the airport. I thought, here is my opportunity. I said I'd be happy and honored to take him to the airport. And he sat in the front seat with me, in the car, of course. And early on, as we drove out to the airport, I mentioned my interest in the United Nations and wondered whether one of my background might have a permanent place in that organization. I told him something of my international law studies in London, I'm sure, something about my activities with the UN Association and the state, and of course the World Affairs Council. And I believe then the Committee on Foreign Relations existed here, and perhaps I mentioned it too. But anyway, the upshot was that Ambassador Olds said, you know, I think there might be possibilities here. Please send me a written CV of your career. And you know, I have that CV, I'm sure, and I was going to give it to you this morning, but maybe I could find it and give it to you at a later date and have it marked as an exhibit.
I would love to have that.
I know I have my CV file, resume file, I call it, for that period. But anyway, I did send him a curriculum vitae, a history of my career up to then, and he responded. He said, the next time you're in New York, do come and see me. And the U.S. mission is at 41st and 45th and 1st Avenue, directly across the street from the UN campus or complex, which faces the East River.
I've been to it.
You know it well, I'm sure. And fortunately, at that time, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you, but in 1962, I was elected to the executive committee of the Yale Law School Association, which required attendance of meetings twice a year. And so the next meeting, I think, was in the fall sometime, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 months after this brief visit and exchange with Ambassador Olds. I was at the meetings in New Haven and dropped down after the meetings and spent a day or so in New York and called on the ambassador. And he personally took me across the street and introduced me to a number of people in the UN system, particularly a gentleman by the name of Smith, the administrative officer, an Englishman, administrative officer for the United Nations Development Program. I can't remember his first name. And a gentleman by the name of Vajanathan from India, who was also a member of the United Nations Development Program. More about Mr. Vajanathan later.
Now, this is the fall of 1969?
This is the fall of 1969. And these are rather cordial exchanges with several UN officials. And nothing came of it in terms of paper from the UN at that time. But I followed through, and at that time, I was writing a paper. Where it was going to be published, I don't know, or whether it would ever be published, I don't know, on the prospects of international law. And in the spring of 1970, at my own expense, I made a trip to Geneva to research this question in the libraries of the old League of Nations buildings, and spent several days in Geneva, and then moved on to Den Haag or The Hague, and met with our justice, who was a member of the 15-judge International Court of Justice.
Did you ultimately publish the work that you did?
I did, and I will come to that, and I'm glad you mentioned that. But when I then stopped in London and saw a dear, dear friend for whom I was associated with on cases by the name of Alfred Waters, an English solicitor, and then back via New York. And so I thought, well, I will poke my head into the U.S. mission and across the street, hopefully, at the U.N. itself. I had discovered then, or even earlier, that Ambassador Olds was no longer our U.S. ambassador to ECOSOC. Eventually, he became president. And I should look this up in the World Almanac to be absolutely correct, of a university in Anchorage, Alaska, maybe Alaska Southern University. I think it was a Methodist-sponsored university. Probably still exists. We could probably look it up now, but let's not take the time. But then I had the good fortune of speaking with Mr. Vajanathan. And I say in the spring of 1970, it wasn't the spring of 1970. This was the early part of 1971. In other words, for about a year, I had had infrequent exchanges with Ambassador Olds and had made calls on the U.S. mission, but nothing seemed to be developing that was particularly concrete. My three children, who are rather alert, felt I was engaged in a will-o'-the-wisp, that I was wasting my time, and maybe I was at that particular period. But anyway, let's move up a year, and I return with reference to this paper writing exercise from Europe, and called on the UN, and discovered that Ambassador Olds was no longer with the organization, and that when I spoke with Mr. Vajanathan, I learned this, and I'm trying to remember the exact words of Mr. Vajanathan, and they were something like this. "Well, Mr. Bauman, we like you over at the UN, and I think there might be a place for you one of these days, either in Australia or Japan, given your Japanese background, language background. However, I learned," have I told you this before?
No.
"However, I learned that your government, Washington, is not supporting you for the position. It has a Foreign Service officer in mind for these positions. And," he said, "we do not retain anyone at the UN who is not supported by his or her own government." I was shocked to hear these words. It came as a complete surprise to me. So when I returned to Portland, LaSalle, I thought, what should I do now? Perhaps it's the end of the line. But let me make a telephone call to this gentleman that I've already mentioned to you, Wallace Steen McCall. I always called him by Steen. I reached him at the State Department, told him of my problem, and I said, "Steen, what, if anything, I can do at this juncture to continue my quest?" And Steen responded, "Well, let me look at the files there, your file and your opponent's file,
and see." A career diplomat.
A career diplomat and a member of the interfraternity at the State Department, which I was not. I was an outsider 3,000 miles away.
From Oregon,
no less. So I believe the same day, two or three or four hours later, he called me back and said, "Frank," he said, "I've looked over your file, and I've looked over this other gentleman's file, and if memory serves, and I wouldn't take an oath to this, I somehow associate the name Cox, but it may not be correct. He said, I think you're better qualified than the other gentleman. However, he has an inside track and has the support of our career group in the Department of State, in the Foreign Service. You do not." So I said, "Well, Steen, that being the case, that you think I'm better qualified, what, if anything, should I do at this time?" And then he said to me, Frank, he said, do you have any friends on the Hill, he said. It's become political now. And I speak of the Senate and the lower house. Do you know anyone there of either party or both parties that you could possibly write and ask them to support you? And I said, well, let me think about it, Steen. I said, I might have a few. And after giving due reflection, I elected or selected about 8 members of the Congress, both at the Senate level and the House level, and on both sides of the aisle, to write. And if memory serves, all responded affirmatively. And they independently of myself, I forget, I'm hazy in this respect, whether I sent their letters to the Department of State, to the Secretary of State himself. Our Secretary of State at that time was William Rogers. Have I mentioned this to you earlier, that I befriended William Rogers at the close of World War II in Tokyo, Japan?
You might have, but I don't remember that clearly. I certainly recognize the Secretary's name.
All right. He has a son, isn't he? Who's